Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host.
Here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. I'm trying to get my headsets on here. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Another beautiful day. Let's see. Just want to say thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It is fall. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I'm telling you, fall is upon us. And next thing you know, it'll be winter and we'll be into the Christmas season. It's just moving right along regardless to what we feel and how we think that maybe moving fast, slow, whatever, God is doing what he does. And we can see the effects of some of the things that we are doing to cause us to have some uncomfortable situations in the world. You know, just last week we talked about trying to bring more love into the atmosphere. And I'm a big believer that if we all could just take a moment in the day and just thank God and just love on him and feel the loving energy, it can make a shift in the atmosphere and in the way we think and do things. I think we have a big effect on some of the things that we are experiencing these days. That's just my opinion, but I can tell you one thing, it's not going to hurt us to send out love to the world and the people that is going through the various situations, even in your own life. I mean, we all are going through something. Trust me. As I look around and look at various people and situations, even just looking at a movie, and I'm looking at them and I'm going, wow, everybody's going through something. There's a trial, there's a tribulation, there's an opposition somewhere. And you just have to realize that I think it's God trying to get our attention. He allowed things to happen so that we can come to him and recognize that he is the Father. And that he has the answers, and we are the children, you know, even though as we are on this earth, we are thinking and believing that we are such grown-ups. But in God's sight, we are still little children, and we are still his children. So, you know, don't get too big to go to the Father. Let's see here. Let me go to the switchboard. Let's see if I sent you here. Let me see. I think Deborah's with us today, too. Good morning, Cynthia.
Oh, good morning. It's good to be back. How are you?
Back. Where were you? I'm just teasing.
Well, you know, I was gone a couple of weeks. I missed you guys.
No, I tell you, it was something. You know, when you're so used to, when I started this program, I was always basically on here by myself, and then people would say something or whatever, and then all of a sudden, you know, you hooked up with me and been such a faithful person on Saturday mornings to come on the radio and just help me just deliver a message and broaden the message that God has given us. And I'm telling you, the last 2 weeks I missed you, I missed Deborah, Frida wasn't around. I said, well, okay, Lord, here we go. And we manage, but I can tell you, it's so much better when you guys on with me. It just makes it so much easier. I haven't got spoiled. So,
well,
yes, we
like
missed you.
I know that. Good job. I miss you guys, too. Good morning, audience. I did so miss you guys. Hope all is well with everybody, and I'm just glad to be back.
All right. All right. Let's see. I think this is Deborah. I have to go through numbers here to see. Hold on 1 second, Cynthia. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning. Praise the Lord.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, and yourself?
All right. Glad to have you on. Missed you. I know y'all was busy last week doing the seminar, and so we're going to let you talk a little bit about that today and when we get into our conversation. So hold on 1 moment, and Cynthia, would you do the prayer for us this morning?
Absolutely. Dear Father, we come thanking you, Father God, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for Dr. Fletcher, our fearless leader. I thank you for our co-host, Deborah, and myself, and the audience, because they, too, are our co-hosts when they participate. So, God, I thank you for everyone who's listening around the world. I thank you, God, that mothers and daughter lives will be changed with a word from you today. Father God, it's impossible for us to hear your word and not be moved. So, Father God, we know we will be moving towards a new direction just hearing your word. And so, Father God, I thank you for all of the ladies, our student body at the Hollywood Correctional Center. We thank you, Father God, for such an awesome workshop last week. We thank you for Deborah, our facilitator, and our guest speaker, and Cece, our facilitator of the workshop. And we just thank you, Father God, that we can come together to serve your people, because it's all about you and not about us. And we thank you, God, for the words that were shared. We thank you for the workshop and the actual activities that will help bring the ladies closer to freedom when it comes to restoring their rights. And, Father God, we just, because you showed up in a very major way, it was an awesome event, and we just thank you. We thank you, Father God, for choosing us for the task. And, Father God, we could be doing anything and everything, but we choose to stay the task of doing your work, even for Saturday mornings, Father God. You've given us a heart and a steadfastness and a discipline to get up and do it, and we do not take it for granted. But, Father God, it is always a pleasure to serve you and to serve your people. And when we are moving in your will and moving in your direction, there's no other thing to say but thank you. And so with that, I say thank you in your son Jesus' name. We love you, Father God, and we will be ever so mindful to always be thankful in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, I am so grateful to have you back this morning. I know the workshop was good last week. I'm going to put Deborah on live here. Let's see. Deborah, I clicked you. Okay, now you're back. I'm going to give you a few minutes to share a little bit about what went on last week with the workshop. Deborah, I wish I was there. I know you gave a wonderful, wonderful message. I just know it. I wish it was recorded. I didn't think to tell you guys to record that. But Debbie, you want to tell me a little bit about it? Is great.
Yeah,
I need to see. All right. Very good. All right. Debbie, you want to tell me just a little bit about your speech last week? Just
yes,
a general topic?
Yes. There was hold on.
Wait a minute, Deborah. Before you do that, let me just say this. Audience, what we were talking about last week, we have the Mother and Daughter Bible College in Pembroke Pines, Florida, and it's at the Correctional, Women Correctional Center. And with that, last week they had a day of workshops and seminars, and Deborah was the guest speaker. And so, Deborah, if you want, Cynthia can start off and just give us a gist of what happened and the things. I know the ladies was excited. I just don't want to start today without saying thank you to you guys for doing such a great job. I I wanted to be there, and my heart was there, but I knew that it was okay. I knew because I know who you all are, and I know they got an excellent, excellent workshop. So either one of you can go first, just to say something briefly.
Go ahead, Cynthia.
Go ahead, Deborah.
Okay.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, so
you
can start it off, Dr. Fletcher. You know how we do it. We always like to start off with or end with breaking bread. So the first thing we did, we had a beautiful breakfast at the Hollybrook Golf and Tennis Club is where we actually had the workshop. And so that was really, really awesome. The ladies were very excited. And sharing a meal is so important because if you're hungry, number one, you won't focus, and number two, it just allows you to bond. And we had that bonding moment prior to getting the workshop started. I must say we ran a little behind because we were having so much fun with that particular part of the day. But by that same token, I think what was said and how it went was the way it was supposed to have gone. And it's so funny because a couple of the girls got up to start helping the service because a lot of the girls work there from the work release program. And I'm like, no, you're a guest today. You're not serving anyone. Please sit down and enjoy your meal. And so that started the day, and then we moved upstairs where Deborah was our first guest, and one of the ladies prior to that, she actually sings, and she has a beautiful voice from the Work Release Center. She graced us with a song, not only at the event, but she graced us with a song as we sat and had our breakfast, which was absolutely beautiful.
Amen.
I told her she needs to do something with that voice when she gets out. And then we moved upstairs where Deborah was our first guest because she was the main speaker. And so I'll let her tell her part, but it was just phenomenal. And Cece followed her with the workshop. We actually did what's called a clemency walk through the application process for getting your rights restored. And so I will let Deborah tell her part. And that's pretty much how the workshop went in that order. And it was just a blessing to be able to show the ladies what it feels like to be served because they've been serving for their entire system. They ask, tell them how high to jump, and then they jump. But I wanted them to truly relax last week and just know that they are loved on, and we did that. We did that. Deborah, you can go ahead.
And Deborah, I know I didn't want to put you on the spot, Deborah, and I know that did. So I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, and that'll help you because I could tell the tense when it went through you. Never go, wait a minute now, I'm not prepared for that. So, you know, let me apologize for that. I wanted to know, when you were talking to them, what was your topic? Let's ask that first. What was your topic?
My topic was more in the arena of encourage and inspire them not to lose focus, you know, because
very good.
When you get your work release, you have a tendency to think that you arrive and you want to be sneaky and you think you missed something and, you start doing things, deviation and, you know, taking a little drink and those little things that you take for granted that might send you back, you know. So I started out just talking about me. And I told him, I'm going to talk about me because I don't know you. Let me talk about me and where I've been in my life. And if you see yourself anywhere where I've been, just know that you're on the wrong road because I traveled that road for a long time. And so, you know, I took it back to maybe 9. I mean, and some of the stuff I knew that I didn't want to say, but God had, I'm like, ooh, did Jesus do that? You know, I just was naked. I just was naked and I was just wrong. Not literally, you know, but wrong.
Yeah.
And I just told them what the Lord would have me to say because I had a whole lot of stuff on the paper and points I hit. But God was just saying encourage and lift them up and let them know that by grace, I'll keep them if they want to be kept. But, you know, I had to show them that, hey, I ain't just the keynote speaker. I want the life. I've been there, and I had to show them some ugly stories But look at me now. Look what God did. So don't count yourself out because you got something on your record. Don't count yourself out because, you know, that you've been incarcerated. Don't count yourself out because the people say you'll never change. Don't count yourself out, you know.
Yeah. I know that was awesome, Deborah. And that was the reason why we wanted you to do that. I fell in love with you the first time I heard you speak, and I said, Lord, this is what we need, because anybody that's sentenced for a lifetime and God bring you out of that prison and you've done walk through that, I'm telling you, no greater person to speak to them and to encourage them to keep going. And so I am excited about I can't wait to hear it, the whole thing, because I know it was awesome. I know it was awesome.
And also, I brought a friend of mine that God's so awesome that she was at the same work release center 18 years ago. She had life sentence. She did 18 years. The one that you spoke with on the phone?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I brought her and her daughter. And, you know, I already told them, I said, y'all need a speaker. She loved the Lord. She want to be like Moses and say, Saint Aaron, you know, I can't speak, but trust me. When God gets through moving her and touching her, she'll speak. She'll speak,
mm-hmm,
and she'll
mm-hmm.
speak with the word, you know. So that was just awesome because she was able at the breakfast table, you know, before Cynthia came in, she was asking the girls, what kind of plan you got? You know, what you got to have a plan, you know. And because we opened up, like she said, we opened up and we got a little acquainted, you know, at the table. And that was just awesome. And the food, listen, when I walked in, I didn't know what to expect. I knew that it was going to be eloquent or sophisticated, or I knew it was going to be four star something. I just didn't know what to expect. But when they took us in that room, in that side banquet room, and that thing was laid out, that table, and it was just, the food was beautiful. I was fasting. And so I was trying to act like, you know, I said, my God, them blueberry pancakes was looking good. And the strawberries. And the lady said to me, what you going to eat? I couldn't tell her I was fasting. I said, I'm having a little stomach issues right now. I was having some issues, all right. That food, every omelet, and just everything. And I'm like, give me a side of bacon just to order. And I slid that to my friend because, hey, you eat the bacon. I just order because, you know, but that was just, it was just beautiful. It was just beautiful.
Yeah,
and,
it's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place.
I just like how God did it. Let me just say this and let you get started. I just like how
Amen.
God did it when they say, no, you can't go into prison, but we can bring them to you. God got
Absolutely.
A way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Come on. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I was telling Cynthia. I said, you know, let us bring them out for, you know, the Butterfly Award. I said, so why not, you know, bring them out to that? And Cynthia's like, that's it. You know, she put that thing together. You know, they need to come out anyway. They go out and work, and they come back in, and they go out and work, but they don't really get to do what you all shared and did with them last week. And Cynthia, I commend you. I really, really do. I mean, you just took that thing on and treated them like royalty. And so, you know, God is just smiling on you guys. I'm telling you, he is smiling on you all. And they, I know, feel like they were pampered and loved, and to be sitting in the dining room at the country club where they work and being served. I mean, can you imagine? Can you just imagine?
It was just amazingly beautiful, and the fact how we were able to just love on each other. It's not even us
mm-hmm.
loving on them, but they loving on us. Because I think when you feel that you are a part of something greater than what it actually is, I believe that that's what moves people to change. It's not it's not about us, it's about them, and it's how you treat people that people are moved to change. And I think just loving on them throughout this whole project, Dr. Fletcher, with the Bible College, it is just giving this group of women that's who's determined to stick and stay. We don't know if they all going to get through the end, but for right now, Dr. Fletcher, they just feel so much love. They feel that they can do it. And I want you to know, Dr. Fletcher, everybody who took the test, they all scored very high. I think it was only like three girls that got maybe three questions wrong. And we even graded it last night. So we all good. It's all gravy. You know, I told them I'm too smart
mm-hmm.
to grade paper. We create keys right here. So everybody
mm-hmm.
graded their paper, and they did extremely well. And they just feel that they can do it. And I'm gonna bring up one of the young ladies who just cried because when we sent her grades last time, she had been counted out, saying that she was making and she was dumb. And I was like, no, God created you, and you have your own smarts and your own rights, and you can do this. And she emailed us a response after she got her grade, and she just said, Professor Oliver, I really want to thank you, ladies, because if for the first time I feel that I can do something positive. And I was like, it's all about you, boo. You got this. You just bought into the lie.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And now
wow.
you know you can. And I, if I'm not mistaken, she's one of the ones who made about a 90 last night, the young lady that I'm referring to. And ladies, I can't use names because of the situation, but just know that these are a group of ladies that we're just loving on, and they're just loving on us back, and we're just being the model that God loves them. And that's all we're doing, just believing in them like God believed in them.
Well, all right. That's, that's wonderful. I'm just excited. I tell you, I'm living in the image of it all. Thank you, ladies. And I'm going to say a couple things, and I'm going to come right back and bring you back on, and we're going to have an open mic, okay?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
All righty, all right. Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, sometimes, you know, audience, you don't know. You know that we come on the radio on Saturday morning, and sometimes it may appear to you that, oh, they just got it going on, that there's no oppositions in their lives. Well, I'm here to tell you, we do have oppositions in our lives. We do. We just like you. We get up every day, and life happens. It's the decisions that we make that determines the experiences that we experience from what happened, from the life experience. So I said all that to say this, is that find out what God has for you to do. He has assigned you to someone, to help someone. And sometimes we have to get outside of ourselves, even though I'm going through. Even though I'm going through what I'm going through, I don't stop. Because I say to myself, I can stop and nothing is going to happen. It just will die if I stop and the things that I'm doing in my life, not someone else's life. And I have to learn that, you know what? I'm going to walk through this. Because even though you walk through the shadow of death, that is not death. That is a shadow. And a shadow will look 10 times, 100 times larger than the actual person or thing that it is. It just magnifies itself because the whole thing is to put fear into you. But even at that, you have to walk and keep an eye on that shadow, and you got to keep an eye straight ahead of you, and you got to keep going, and you got to believe God. God, you assigned me to do this. And I am not going to quit. I am not going to faint. I am going to keep moving. And I can witness to you that when Cynthia and I get together and we're talking, sometimes we just burst out start laughing because we just know, you know, when we look at all that, we have to laugh. We have to laugh. Two ladies starting a Bible college. You know, no budget. Just, you know, when people look at it and put it on paper, it just doesn't make sense. But God is just providing, and He sent us wonderful people like Deborah and Cece and Frida, all the people that comes along with it that helps us and, you know, with the project, the officers and everybody so nice to us and kind to us and helping us, you know, because they could make it difficult for us. But God has placed us in a position for a reason. And I'm telling you, we are just at the beginning of it, and God has got a major plan, a major plan. He didn't show us the whole plan. He just said, can you just trust me? Bessie, you and Cynthia, just hold on and trust me, and I'm going to walk you through this. And then as I walk you through it, I'm going to pick up Deborah, I'm going to pick up Cece, I'm going to pick up the people that you need as we walk through. Never brought a friend. Somebody else may have came. I don't know who all was there. But whoever, I'm gonna bring who you need along. I just need you to keep walking. Just trust me. Don't worry about how it's gonna happen. Well, he picked the right one. I told him, Cynthia, I said, you know, we don't have enough sense to quit. We're gonna follow this thing right on out. And that's what you have to do. Whatever God placed on your heart, don't look at money. Just do all that you can do in one day. Everything that you can do on that project that day. Remember, write down your thoughts, talk to the Lord, use your imagination, whatever it is, spend some time on that assignment that God has given you. And as you build your faith, then you'll start moving, you'll start believing, and you'll do it, and you won't even know how you're doing it. It'll just happen. And that's what I saw last week. I didn't have to worry about it. I knew it was great. I knew it was great. The only thing was I missed being there just to enjoy sitting down and hearing and being educated, because I'm learning. Every time I would have learned so much from Deborah. I would have learned so much from Cece. I would have learned so much from Cynthia and the lady that was there, because I'm always open to learn. We're not the ones with all the knowledge and all the wisdom. No. God used each and every one of us to feed the other. So do what God has placed on your heart and stop making excuses about why you can't do it. Because we're here to tell you, you can do it if you are willing to do it. Some way, somehow, if you have to stand up on the street corner and teach somebody as they walk by, just do it. Well, our stimulating topic this morning is Wisdom for Mother-Daughter Relationships, Part 2. And this morning we're talking about motherless daughters and grandmothers. Last week we talked about the wisdom between mother and daughter, and it was awesome because we were talking about how the wisdom of the mother really sets up the frame, the mind frame, the imagery for the daughter. And we're coming from the book Good News God Speaks to Mothers and Daughters. And, you know, it's so amazing. We're just about, I'm going to say halfway, but we're moving in this. And God has placed it on my heart to do it, and I kept putting off a little bit, and then he placed it on Cindy. He always sends somebody to confirm what he wants you to do. And then Cindy said, Dr. Fletcher, you know, we should be teaching from the book. And I thought, okay, here we go. God already done told me, so now here's confirmation. He's going to use these audios for something. So we're going through doing what God has asked us to do. And now we are up to the wisdom for the motherless daughter and the wisdom of the grandmother. Now, when we're talking about wisdom for the motherless daughters, and I'm just going to open this up, and then I'm going to go back and pull Cynthia and Deborah in. Because as I was thinking, I thought, wow, both of these hit Cynthia right straight, I mean, bullseye, bam, in the middle. And the motherless daughter is the daughter that was raised without her mother in her life. And a lot of times as a Christian clinical psychologist, when I'm dealing with clients and they're in my office and I'm dealing with a woman that she's a mother, she has a daughter, or maybe even a son. But she was not raised by her mother. And she would say to me, I think the reason that I can't love my daughter or do for my daughter is because I don't know how to do it, Dr. Fletcher. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say because I don't have a mother-daughter relationship. I don't know what my mother would have done in this situation. So therefore, I can't give the love to my daughter that I never had. So it's like if you look at it and you're looking at, just say in front of you, you're looking at a piece of paper, I'd say, and half of it is black and half of it is white. So here's the mother with the daughter standing on the white side, right on the edge of the white side of the paper, with the black side pressing against her back. It's like a void behind her. She has nothing that she can pull on for her mother and daughter relationship, because she has no mother and daughter relationship that she knows of or can remember from coming out of her mother's womb for whatever length of time. Sometimes people are adopted right after birth. Sometimes they don't even get to see their mother. And I don't know which is worse, not seeing your mother or coming out of the womb and the doctor placed the baby in the mother's arm. There's a bond. There is a connection that's greater than anyone can imagine. And then to be taken away after being connected and then being taken away and given to someone else. Now the baby is feeling disconnect, even though it may be just a few days old. I've connected with the being that brought me here, and then you take me away and place me in someone else's arms. They're never going to feel that they fit there. It's always going to feel uncomfortable. There is no bond. So when the mother comes to me and says, "Dr. Fletcher, I just don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do. I want to love my daughter. I try to do the best I can, but I really don't know what to do with her." And the daughter's saying to me, she doesn't love me, but yet she could relate to the males that she birthed. Isn't that ironic? She can relate to the males because maybe she had a relationship with her father. Maybe she didn't, but that male-female chemistry is a different type of connection. But that mother-daughter bond is something totally different. You're looking at you in a younger body, someone that's going to want to draw from you. That daughter is going to draw from that mother, and she's drawing from you as if she's sucking milk out of your breast. She's drawing from you. But when you don't have anything for her to draw from, then she feels that you don't love her, just like a son draws from his father. Once that young girl thinks that her mother doesn't love her, then she makes an interpretation, and she based everything else in their relationship on that. She watches her. She uses it to measure love. She uses it to measure blame. And as she gets to the age of 12 or 13, she starts acting out. Acting out. It just didn't happen 12 years old at 1201. All of a sudden, she turns into this person that the mother said, "I don't know who this is. I don't know where she came from." Yesterday she was my 12-year-old. She turned 13, and, you know, 13 in the minds of some girls, they're just dying to wait till they get 13. 13 is that magical age, and then 18 is the other, 16 and then 18. You know, they got these numbers. You know, when I get there, this is who I can do this. I can be this person. But she didn't turn into that person at 12:01. She was building up to that person. So we want to talk to the motherless mother in your relationship. Therefore, the mother would say to me, Dr. Fletcher, I need some training. Maybe parenting skills. First of all, I'm here because I need to deal with my issues. Because I didn't have a good relationship with my mother, it's affected my relationship with my husband. It's affected my relationship with my sisters. It's affected my relationship with my coworkers. It's affecting my relationship with my friends. I just can't get along with females. It affects my relationship. Whatever you don't have, a strong mother and daughter relationship, it does affect your relationship with other females. And sometimes we look at that and we say, oh, maybe not. You know, how's that going to do? Oh, yeah, because there's something in you crying out, screaming out, because you feel like there's a void in there. Until you get the answers, until you fill that void, a motherless daughter will have difficulties in making decisions about her children and about people around her. And I give you an example. When I was into the school, I would go to the schools there in South Florida, and I was working for one of the largest mental health facilities in Florida. And they would send me out, and I'd go to the schools, and I'm talking to these young girls. They're fighting. They're always in trouble. Just tight. The face just balled up. They're just angry. And I'm like, what is going on? Why are you so angry today? Why were you fighting? And they would just tell me, well, you know, because she makes me so sick. Every time I turn around, she's talking about her and her mother, and they went shopping and this, that, and the other. And why I have to go through that? You know, I don't have my mother. My mother's in jail, or my mother's on crack, or my mother left me. Why? You know, but I would say to her, so what? Would you want to fight or beat on someone because of something that happened in your life? But it was the way of just, she didn't know what else to do. She wanted to bring her down. If I'm miserable, I want you miserable. And that was a lot of it. And that's back in 2004 when God said to me, I want you to create a program for daughters with mothers in prison. This thing started in 2004. 2004, we wrote the program. And now we're into the prisons. I mean, never dreamt that this is where I was going. We put the program on paper, tried to figure out how to do it, and it's still set on paper. I still have it on the disk drive. It's still on paper. And then all of a sudden, he led us into the prison. And now he done took it as far as a college. God is awesome. When they give you the idea, write it down. Hold on to it. Because he is coming back to bring that idea into reality. So that's the motherless mother and some of the effects that happen. But in the book, we talk about Ruth. Ruth is the prime example. Now, this is amazing. Good news, God speaks to mother and daughter, how God just gave me a message. Different messages to put into this book. Lord knows I didn't write it. And Lord knows I wasn't looking to write no book. I didn't consider myself as an author or a writer. I just wrote what he told me to write. And he chose Ruth. And he said, tell them. Ruth was a motherless child. Ruth was taken in by her uncle. Ruth. I can imagine back in that time was looked down upon and talked about. She had no parents. And he took Ruth and turned her life around, used her to save a whole nation of people. So he said, you tell them, I am their father. I am their mother. And whatever they need, they come to me. I use whoever I please, whoever is willing. So if you're having a pity party out there that you was adopted, you don't know who your mother is, always know that your creator is your mother and father, who will always be there even when your earthly parents are gone. God is never going to leave you. That's where it is. God is never going to leave you. When my mother left, I thought my world ended because I'm an only child. Being an only child, we were very, very close. We had that mother and daughter bond, but of course I was a daddy's girl too. I had the best of two worlds. But when she left, I just couldn't even imagine that I could keep going. What was I going to do without a mother that doted on me, that if I say I wanted, she would turn over the rock to get it. She and daddy. But then I had to grow up real fast. The day my mother passed, the next day I was walking, and I just felt something lift off of me. And all of a sudden, I changed from being that little girl into a woman. I can't explain it. And I didn't realize I had always been my mother's little girl. Yes, ma'am. Mother said it. Yes, ma'am. I never contradict her. Yes, ma'am. And then all of a sudden, something happened. And I got this feeling, wow, you really are a grown woman now. And I was late in my 40s. So it wasn't like I was 10, 15, 20 some years old, you know. But that's the relationship we have. All right, so now the other part that we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the grandmother. And we're going to talk about how to be the best grandmother you can be. Now, I have experience with that, but I don't have granddaughters. I have grandsons. But being a grandmother is a different type of relationship with your granddaughter. It's different. You are one removed from her mother. Yet many grandmothers today find themselves raising their grandchildren. For some reason, the mother has decided that they want the grandmother to raise them. They leave the children, and they go off, and I've seen daughters come, have a baby come, leave it at the mother's house and leave and just leave the baby. I've seen that, I'm telling you, so many times. And the grandmother keeps the baby, and they just have the baby, bring the baby, leave the baby. And she raised the baby. I mean, what is she supposed to do? Somebody's got to take care of the baby. Is that fair? No. She's raised her children. But as a good grandmother, you step in, you do whatever, because you see that's your next generation. And that's a different kind of love. You don't even know love in your children as a compared to love in your grandchildren. I don't know what it is. It's just something different. And my mother told me that when I had my daughter. She said, and I was jealous, of course, and she said to me, just wait until you have your own grand, and you will see what I feel. You will know what I feel, and you'll see what it's like to be a grandmother. And I thought, yeah, right. You just trying to put me out of the loop. I was the only one here. Now I got competition. Right. You know, because then all of a sudden I was set to the side, and Angie became the light, the sun, the moon, you know, the air they breathe. And I was like, what? No, that can't happen. You can't just drop me off. I understand it now. So grandmothers, and then we got some grandmothers don't want to be grandmothers. Trust me, I know that too. I got some grandmothers come in my office, and they say to me, look, I've raised my children, and she's going to have to raise hers. I don't care. They'll let the children go through foster care. So if your grandmother took you in and your grandmother did what she could do for you, hey, you have been blessed and honored. Because there are many grandmothers that won't do it. They won't step up to that plate. They refuse to and let their grandchildren go into foster care or someone else's care. Can you, you know, I'm not blaming. All I'm saying is, you know, we have the role. We have the child. It doesn't stop because we have the daughter. I am responsible for my grandkids. He says, I will bless you, your children, and your children's children. So I am responsible for my grandchildren. And my daughter is responsible for her children and her children's children. She's responsible for her grandchildren. You see how this thing rolls down? There's no getting off of this treadmill. There's no getting off of this lineage. You are the grandmother. We are still connected to Eve, who started this whole trend. There's no disconnect. It keeps going. So in the book, we're talking about being a good grandmother, the value of a grandmother, and what it's going to take for you to be that person. Because if you don't do it, God will send somebody along. God will send someone to fill in the gap, just like he did with Ruth. He will send someone that will love on that child, that will help them become the best, that will deposit the wisdom and understanding and knowledge that they have to help someone else. Because you can't carry this with you. If you know better, then help somebody else to do better. Because it took experiences. It took some hurt and some pain, some time for us to get the lessons. And why not share those lessons with someone else so that their life could be made easy? Just like Deborah did on Saturday last week. She shared her life at the conference with the women that we had at the from the prison at the country club. I mean, you know, she shared her life, and she had a life to share. She could say to them, I've been to prison. I've been on death row, life sentence, not death row, excuse me, death row. But I've been there. So they're looking with all they had because they could see, oh, my God, she made it. She made it. And if she can make it, I can make it. We're sitting in here. Said they had them in the country club. We're in the country club looking at us. Look at us being pampered. Listen to the people that says, I've got my life back. God will send somebody across your path. So don't feel just because you don't have a mother or your grandmother didn't step up, keep your eyes open. There's a woman in the neighborhood. There's a teacher. There's a woman in the grocery store. There's somebody on your job, just walking on the street, somebody look at you and smile. God will send someone to you. All you got to do is believe him and ask him. Okay, Cynthia, I'm coming to you. Let's see here. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning, Dr. Fletcher. Interesting. You know, I can relate to all of that. I was a motherless child, not by choice. Audience, if you've been with us for some years, you knew I grew up without my mom. Didn't meet her until I was taken from her when I was 17 months old. And obviously, at that age, you're not conscious of memory, so you don't really remember. But I remember when my brother came when I was 13 and took us to Fort Lauderdale, and he said, I want y'all to meet somebody. And so he took us there, and the lady opened the door. I didn't know who she was, but I knew who she was, if that makes sense. Well, I looked at her, and I was like, I know this lady, but I didn't know who she was, because like you said, there's a bond that cannot be broken no matter how much space and distance there has been between a mother and her daughter. And then I had a grandmother who raised me, my father's mother who raised me. And so I know the story well. I also know the story of being so perturbed as a child and being, even as an adult, I was a 42-year-old, 2-year-old, or 13-year-old, if you will, ready to fight in graduate school. Every time we would be in group therapy, we had 2 semesters of group therapy as a class. They were actually classes. And every time the ladies would talk about how their mother was their best friend, I would get angry all over again. And I'm a grown woman, and I'm ready to fight these women who sitting in there bragging about their relationship with their mother. So there's just something about not having your mother in your life that it just, until you deal with the negative emotions attached to those events, that anger just comes up. And it took me to go through these classes to determine where that anger was coming from. And because my instructor was on me for a couple of years trying to get me to deal with, asking me why I'm so angry. And I kept looking at her and saying to her, I'm not angry. What are you talking about? And she would just always say, oh, yes, you are. And so that brings me to the article that I'm reading about 11 and 13-year-olds and how it is that egocentricism that we emerge when we're around between 11 and 13. You mentioned 12, that we become the center of our own world. And so it's something in that time that we determine that I'll show them. And so when mm-hmm. we're acting out between the age 11 and 13, it's because we are the center of our world, and we're going to show you who we are. And so I remember at 13 saying to myself, I'm going to prove to them, and I didn't say it in these words because I don't know what none of this meant at that time. I'm going to prove to them that I don't need them. See, I set out to prove to my parents that I didn't need them. And all of the mm-hmm. degrees that I've gotten, and I'm working on my PhD now, all of the degrees I got a negative and turned it into a positive, but by that same token, I was still to work. So I'm moving mm-hmm. towards all of these degrees, and none of these degrees meant anything to me until my mother showed up at my graduate level degree. But because my mother and father had never been to, they didn't come to my graduation for the bachelor's. They didn't come to my graduation for the associate. And so those degrees didn't mean anything to me until I saw my mother sitting in the audience when I got my master's degree. That's when it meant something to me, because I was always trying to prove something. I was always trying to prove that I didn't need them. And I don't care how old you get, you always want your parents' approval and to say, I'm proud of you. Mm-hmm. And so it is in yeah. that absence of having that relationship with your mother that you can't even fathom the love of a mother and daughter relationship. So of course you're angry, because God knew you needed them and he created you to have them. But because of life and life happening, sometimes it just does not happen. And it's not that God allows things to happen, because he doesn't force us to do anything. And so all of that to say this, until you've been there, you really, really don't understand what a childless child goes through, a motherless child goes through.
Right.
But at the hands of Dr. Fletcher, this 13-year-old, at the age of 48, finally got a chance. I'm sorry, Dr. Fletcher.
It's okay, baby. That's it. That's the way it goes.
I finally got a chance.
Mm-hmm.
To know the love of a mother. And it was nothing that she did, because by this time she was very frail, she was very sick. But I just got to lay there with my mother and bond.
Yeah, and that was that helped you to be able to be strong to help the women that we're working with now. that helped you to get to that, you know, because see, God knew, he knew the plan. He knew when you walked in my office. He knew when he asked me to ask you, Deborah, we coming to you. He knew when he asked me to ask you, how was your mother and daughter relationship as you was walking out that door? God did that deliberately because he knew that he would have us do this assignment at this time. So that's why I tell everybody, you know, don't worry about if you're doing it right or wrong. Just do what he tells you to do, because if I had not asked you that question, just imagine. If I had not followed God's order, he would have had to find another way to get you what you needed. You see what I'm saying? He would have found somebody else to get you there. But I thank God I was obedient, and I try to be. And so here we are, nurturing and loving on other daughters to help them become the best that they can be. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to get Deborah in here.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Deborah?
Because you cannot. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, go ahead.
I cannot do what I do effectively if I had not been healed. Yeah, I can do a lot of stuff, and I have been doing a lot of stuff up to this point. But you cannot be effective if you're still broken and you're still hurting. Because when you have what's called transference, for the audience who don't know what that means. When I first started working with the ladies, I had an issue working with them because I always had this attitude towards them that I didn't like them because my mother was a replicate of the people that I work with, very apathetic. And because my mother allowed life to do her, I didn't have my mother in my life. So God had to heal, allow me to be healed in order that I can do what I do and do it effectively with the women that we work with now.
And
he had
to use the same model type in order for you to get it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Deborah, we're going to go over. We can roll over. So I'm going to let it run on. Go ahead, Deborah.
I tell you, I feel that you might need to do a part two on this because so much you said and Cynthia just took me over to a whole nother avenue with this thing because I'm telling you, the relationship that I have now, I just got since I've been clean. And yesterday, I just want to say this for the record, yesterday I celebrated 7 years of sobriety.
Amen. Congratulations.
Amen. Smoking no drug, nothing. Maybe that
amen.
Program, that's it.
Amen.
But I just want to say that it's possible, and I'm just starting to live. But my mom, I said the same thing, Cynthia, to me about my mom. Running away, I was the author and the orchestrator of all that happened, true. But I felt at some point down the line, they used to tease me about being adopted. My brother, you ain't Iris' real sister, you adopted. They used to say that around the house when Mama wasn't listening. And I started feeling some type of way. It wasn't true, but I started feeling some type of way. So let me just say it fast. I ended up running away, not because of that, but other stuff. And I ended up running away, and I ended up in a group home. Now I'm really feeling like I was adopted now. I'm really feeling some type of way. So when I got, by the time I got to prison, and I said, okay, I'm here. They came to see me, I'd probably say 10 times, you know, and I was feeling some type of way. You know, 10 times in 15 years, probably once every 12 months, you know, and I was feeling some type. If I say 10, I probably said too much, but I was feeling like, I'm the outcast, I'm just a troubled child, she don't love me, and this went on for a long, long time. And as soon as I got ready to come home, before then, I used to say to myself, I've never asked my mama to send me nothing in prison because I said, I don't need her, I'm going to show them I could do this life sentence. I'm going to show her. Like you know, I'm gonna prove to them I ain't gotta ask them for nothing. Needed something, needed a whole lot. Needed two pairs and two brushes and socks and drugs. I needed all that they didn't give me. I needed that. But I was not going to call home and ask for nothing because, I mind you, I've been on my own since I was 13, carrying my own weight. So recently, on the second graduation, I heard that word, the word, Cynthia. I'm proud of you. You know how long I wanted to hear that? On the second one, she said, she wrote it in a card, and then she texted me and she called me, and I said, my God, I was 40-something. I heard that. But like I say, I was the author of the madness in my life, and I thought that she didn't love me because of all that I did. I was the only child she had to go to the courthouse for, the only child she had. I did enough for the whole family, put it that way. I did enough for the whole family. You know, I was a troubled child. And so now I'm the only child that's saved, the only child that's going to make it in. I pray they make it in, but if you come right now, and she said she want to live to see all her kids saved. But I feel like I'm a special child because I got a unique spiritual relationship with my mom in the Lord, you know. And
Amen.
I just heard. So we should really make it a part two. I'm telling you, it's so much meat in this. It's so much in everything, you know. And Dr. Phelps, I realize that my grandmas do, and I've heard a lot of people say there's something about them grandbabies. It's something about the because my mama will get up out of her bed to go way across town to take this boy, the one that's acting like me. Some food, wash his clothes. He's 20-something. Wash his clothes. And I said, she never gave me a dime. I'm like, Parker's son's brother. I'm like the brother. She ain't never gave, you know, and I go in debt for her, you know what I mean? And she ain't never gave me a dime. But she ain't got money, but she'll go cross town, waste all her gas, buy food, get him $20, get him a haircut, and he living like the devil. And, you know, I'm the daughter.
Yeah.
I'm saying, what about me?
Yeah.
I'm a lady. I'm trying to get on my feet. What about me? Yeah, but it's something about the grandkids that grandparents say that it's just, you never understand unless you got a grandkid. And so I was feeling some type of way like you. I was jealous like, Mom, you going to take him this? You take him dinner? You iron his clothes? You know, feeling some type of way. Yeah, I was. But I just thank God.
Inferiority, girl. Inferiority.
this has been a beautiful emotional topic. And I tell you, I was trying to twist my wig up, but I had to just stop. And I'm like, I don't know if it's well up there. I don't know if that piece is going to have to go because I got to go out the door. But I just thank God for this topic because, we need to know, let people know that, like I tell the people, I say, hey, when people talk about their mama like a dog, that thing vexed my spirit. I say, she could have closed her legs. She could have closed her legs. She could have choked you out. She thought it not robbery to let you come in the world.
Amen.
She could have stopped it on week 10 or whatever they do it. She could have got the injection or she could have had to suck them out, whatever, the vacuum, whatever. She could have, but she thought it not robbery.
Amen.
I'm going to at least bring you to the world.
Amen. But Deborah, I'm going to take your advice. We're going to pick this up next week. We'll continue next week. And hopefully we can bring, I'm going to invite some people on, you know, let's invite a couple people on to just jump in here with us. It is a very powerful movement, and it is one that, you know, when I got to that part this morning, I mean, Cynthia just jumped in my mind, and my spirit was like, Cynthia is a target for both of these. She has the, and then when you're telling your story, see, we all got a piece, but she has many pieces, you know, and it's just amazing how God used us on Saturday morning to deliver a message to mothers and daughters around the world. So thank you, ladies.
Amen.
It has been wonderful. I mean, the time went by so fast. I looked up. I was like, oh, no. I can't believe the time is gone. So, but
Amen.
It is what it is. And good thing about it, God willing, we'll be back next week. And we can pick this up and carry it on out. Because they're out there. They're listening. And we're going to continue dealing with this issue. All right, thank you so very much, and I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to askdrbessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Audience, that's our show. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Cynthia. It was awesome. We'll be back next week. We're going to pick this back up, and we're going to talk about motherless daughters and grandmothers. We're going to do a part two to this. All right. God bless you. Love you. And just remember, send some love out each and every day. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.